FYI, everyone, you're in for a special two-day treat as we interview pastor and author Mark Batterson on his new book, The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dream and Greatest Fears. Pastor Jason Schiffo and I interviewed Mark just a few days ago, and so we'll jump right into that conversation, where I open up with a question asking why people struggle in prayer. Mark, you recently wrote the book, The Circle Maker, and part of your goal is to encourage Christians to revitalize their prayer lives. And speaking from a pastoral perspective, what are some of the things people struggle with most in deepening their prayer lives?
Well, you know, I think that people sometimes feel like they swing and miss, and their batting average in prayer isn't so good, and they get a little discouraged. You know, I kind of call it death by disappointment. And what happens is a lot of people quit praying, quit believing. And I feel like one of the things that the Circle Maker does is it gives people back their heartbeat for prayer. And so, you know, I think really, it's a book for those that maybe are frustrated with their prayer life. Now, let's be honest with each other. I've never met anybody that said that they pray too much. You know, I think all of us feel like we fall short. But I think many of us really struggle with, well, what do I say and how do I pray? And so I try to talk about some of those things in maybe a little different way and, of course, introduce this idea of praying circles.
Hey, Mark, I got a quick question. Pastor Jason here. What came first? Because I would love for you to preface maybe the idea of the book. And did it come from your struggling with saying, how do I talk to people about prayer? Or was it that you first read this legend of Honi?
Well, you know, it's kind of both and, Jason. 15 years ago, I prayed 4.7-mile perimeter around Capitol Hill. One day I felt impressed by the Lord and by Joshua 1:3, where it's this promise where the Lord says, I will give you everywhere you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. And then, of course, that promise was transferred to Joshua. And I felt like the Lord was saying to me, you know, step out in faith. I've called you here. Capitol Hill is your parish. And so I did a 3-hour prayer walk around Capitol Hill, and I share the story in the book. But here's the crazy thing. We now own 4 pieces of property right on that prayer route. I mean, literally properties that I walked right by, right around, and I just don't think it's a coincidence. And so I, for years, prayed circles around things, kind of inspired by the story of Jericho, and you sort of circle the promises of God. And it was then later that I discovered the legend of Honi the Circle Maker. And so really it was my experience with praying that came first. And then that legend kind of took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, that's interesting that you brought up Joshua, because as I was reading your book, right away for me, I made connections to Joshua 3:5, where it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. And there's the idea of consecration is also the idea of circumscribing, which Moses talks about earlier when it says, set limits around the mountain and make it holy. So that's interesting that you brought that up, and I would love for you maybe to... Is that the same kind of idea?
I think it is. And, you know, I want to say up front that there's nothing, this is not a magical formula. It's not the number of times you circle something. It's just this idea that if something is in the will of God and it's for the glory of God and it meets that twofold litmus test, then we're called to pray and to continue to pray. And so I think it's so important that we learn to just keep circling the promises of God, because many of us, you know, we pray one time and then we quit, or we pray and we forget what we asked for, so that by the time God answers it, we fail to give him the praise because we forgot we even asked for it. And so I think this idea of circling is just, let's keep on praying. In fact, here's one of the key points in the book is that many of us pray ASAP prayers. You know, Lord, do this, do that, and do it as soon as possible. What I want to encourage is ALAT prayers, as long as it takes. I'm going to pray as long as it takes. I'm going to get in that prayer circle. And if I know it's in the will of God, then I'm going to keep praying until the Lord returns or until I die. And that's the kind of tenacity that I think we need to recapture as the people of God. And I think that's the difference between just praying and praying through.
Yeah, the as long as it takes time. Is that the connection you make? A friend of mine forwarded some time ago a video that you did on the nines where you talk about one God idea versus 1,000 good ideas. And that struck me because I know I've got a lot of great ideas, but only ever do the God ideas, the things that I know, you know, you feel and you go, God is a part of this. Are those the things that push through kind of the envelope of frustration, anxiety, that you, there's more perseverance in the God idea?
Oh, there sure is. And it's because it's conceived by God. The way I say it is I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ideas, because good ideas are good. But good ideas don't change the course of history. God ideas are what changes our lives. And so then the question is, where do you get those God ideas? Well, listen, I think it's in the place of prayer. When you get in the presence of God and you are praying, I think that's where the Holy Spirit can begin to speak, and we can hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. And so it's so critical that we do what I would call prayer storming. It's like brainstorming, except it's just, it's getting in God's presence and saying, Lord, speak to me. And it's doing everything with kind of a prayerful mindset, if you will. And when you do that, then I found that the Lord speaks. You know, it's amazing when you pray for someone at the beginning of the day, how coincidences happen. And when you don't pray, they don't happen. And I happen to believe that those coincidences are actually providences. In fact, one of the things I do is I pray through my calendar, guys. I take out my phone and I look through my calendar and I pray for meetings I'm going to have. And here's what I found. It turns appointments into divine appointments. And I don't know if it's because I just go into it knowing that I've already prayed for this person, or if it's because the Lord prepares their hearts. But man, when you pray, it's a game changer. It just changes those appointments, and I believe can turn them into a divine appointment.
Yeah, I've always learned that if you start your day, Lord, order my steps. I mean, that's one of the greatest prayers, because, Lord, you know, order my steps throughout the day so that you're leading me, that I'm walking in cadence with your Spirit's leading, that I'm attentive to what you want me to say, what you want me to do. You know, order my steps for this day. And then really, like you're saying, have open eyes to see God bring about those divine appointments.
Yeah, and then it's so great because then all the pressure's off of us. You know, we don't have to make it happen. We don't have to manufacture anything. We don't have to go through our Rolodex or our Black Book or do the networking piece, because, listen, God does that for us. And, you know, do we believe this stuff or not? Do we believe that God orders our footsteps, Proverbs 16:9? Do we believe that, you know, Ephesians 2:10, that he's preparing good works in advance? Well, we need to pray, you know, like we believe it. And when we do, I think we begin to see our lives take on a whole new dimension. And the amazing thing is, it's not us doing it. It really is the Lord doing it for us. And, you know, that's one of my definitions of prayer. Prayer is the difference between the best you can do and the best God can do. And I don't know if you guys are anything like me. There's a big difference between those two things.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree. Now, Mark, I'd love for you to speak to something practically, something that jumped out in the book at me. And it's something that, as a pastor, I mean, I run up against it every single day in terms of Romans 8:31, you know, that Christian battle cry, if God's not for us, who's against us? And I told Mark this morning, I said, it always makes my heart turn a little bit, because there's a question mark at the end, not an exclamation point. So it's a question. And the if is like the ifs in Philippians, where it's not an if, you replace it with a since. So since God is for you, who's against us? And I find that it tends to always be us. We're against. We're kind of that linchpin that doesn't believe that God is really that big, that God is really huge, that God can do all these things. And you say that on page 13. You say the life-changing truth is that God is for you. So how do you, in practical way, or you know, just how would you do that with your congregation to help them to understand that God is for them?
Oh, well, that's just getting to know the Heavenly Father well enough that you know his heart. And it takes some time, because I think many of us have these defeatist attitudes, or we beat ourselves up, or it's tough for us to look in the mirror and see who it is, that we are a new creation in Christ. And so it's certainly a process, but, you know, I just think we've got to keep getting the Word of God, not just into our minds, but into our hearts and then down in our gut. You know, we've got to believe promises like no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. And I think the key with prayer, and I hope that the Great News Radio listeners can really tap into this, that, listen, it's not so much about what you say when you pray. It's about who you're talking to, that there is still a God who is seated on the throne, that there is still a God who is sovereign. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine. He's for you. And in fact, he's gonna bless you if we can just stay out of the way. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, I think pride and humility is one good example. The Lord opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so all we really have to do is get ourselves in that humble posture before God. And that's really what prayer is. And then that allows God to do what God does. And I might as well throw out one more definition of prayer that I think it's the difference between you fighting for God and God fighting for you. And when we pray, then the Lord begins to fight our battles for us, and that's a game changer.
Amen. In case you just tuned in, we have Mark Batterson. He's a pastor, speaker, author of the new book, The Circle Maker. We highly recommend it. It talks about praying and praying big, praying circles around your biggest dreams and greatest fears. And Mark, in your book, you discuss three areas of focus: dreaming big, praying hard, and thinking long. Can you comment on those?
Yeah, you know, I think dreaming big is something that I believe honors the Lord. And when you know that you have a big God, then it enables you to dream big. You know, A.W. Tozer said that a low view of God is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporal problems. I love that. I mean, to me, it all comes down to how big is your God? You know, for David, Goliath was big, but not nearly as big as the God that he served. And so I think dreaming big is something that honors the Lord. And then praying hard. I think too often we don't have a whole lot of prayer endurance, if you will. And praying hard is hard. But I think there are moments, almost like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he is praying blood, sweat, and tears. There are moments that we need to intercede for our children. We need to intercede for situations. We need to fast and pray. And you know what? That should be normal. That should be the normal practice for those who are Christ followers. And then finally, think long. And I think that's important, because if you dream big, but you don't think long, you're going to get discouraged. You know, we tend to overestimate what we can accomplish in 2 years, but we underestimate what God can accomplish in 10 years. And so if we stay faithful and we think long, pray hard, dream big, then we're going to see God do some things that he will get the glory for. And that ultimately is the objective.
You know, I'm thinking about how God is using you, working in and through you. You're recognized as one of the top 25 most innovative churches in the United States. You serve as the lead pastor at the National Community Church in Washington, D.C. And so you're kind of on the cutting edge of seeing God working in and through circumstances and in and through people that are in one of the most powerful cities in all the world. How have you seen him working in and through your church to influence quite possibly the world through their demonstration of love, of care, of compassion, and of praying big?
Well, you know, I know most of the news coming out of D.C. is political in nature, but let me tell you, there is an undercurrent of God's Spirit moving in the nation's capital, and it's absolutely thrilling. You know, we started out with 19 people, and there was nothing real glamorous about our first few years, but we're now several thousand people strong, and about 70% of them single 20-somethings. We've got 7 locations around the D.C. area, and what's really neat is that we feel like we're able to influence influencers. Now, certainly, we're reaching out into the poor parts of our city, about to launch a dream center in one of the poorest parts of town, and we have a wonderful homeless ministry that we care for those that have extreme needs. But we also know that the Lord's called us to influence those in the halls of power. And so, you know, one example is this morning I get an email from someone who attends our church. He's a part of the travel pool that, you know, is on Air Force One and follows the president everywhere he goes. And she just said, by the way, I was laying hands on the walls of the West Wing this morning. And to know that there are people praying and interceding and making a difference. And, you know, my feeling is that behind every headline, there's a footnote, and the footnote is prayer. I think prayer is the way that we write history. It's the way we make history. And so when we pray, I think it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, and Mark, I think that that's powerful. I think that to say that, hey, you know, God is at work there, because I think there's a lot of people who scan the headlines and they're feeling really challenged about what's happening there, and is God still blessing this country, and is still God still for us? And so I think that's a great affirmation to throw out there. There's something that, you know, radio touches so many different listeners, and the demographic is huge. I mean, I've heard from people who are younger who listen to this station and people who are in their 80s. I mean, there's senior saints who have been following Jesus forever. And in the book, you said that you feel like prayer is an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you receive from your grandparents. And I know a lot of the senior saints who go, you know, my destination is Florida, somewhere warm. And I keep going, God's got a mission for you. And so I would love if maybe you could speak to those senior saints and let them know how much they matter, what they can pass on.
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity to do that. I just, you know, I've been blessed because I've had people that have interceded. In fact, right when you said that, I couldn't help but think the former Attorney General of the United States attended our church while he was in office. And one day there was a television program about him, and I remember a retired missionary from Springfield, Missouri, sent me a note one day, guys, and said, hey, I want you to know I saw that program, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you every day. You have no idea what that meant to me. I mean, I about lost it just knowing that there was a godly saint that was interceding for me. And, you know, you might lose a little bit of your physical strength, but I think all of us should become spiritually stronger as the years go by, because we've experienced more of God's faithfulness, and that ought to translate into prayers that are more and more powerful. And so I think all of us can play a key role in the kingdom of God. And if we have time, I could maybe just briefly say that, you know, I had a grandfather that prayed for me. And he was hard of hearing. He would take his hearing aid off at night, and he couldn't hear himself, but everybody else in the house could hear him praying for his family and for his grandchildren. And some of the most powerful moments in my life have been the moments when I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, Mark, the prayers of your grandfather are being answered in your life right now. You know, he died when I was 6, but his prayers did not die. Our prayers never die. There is no expiration date. When we pray, we put things in the hands of God, and you never know when or how or where God's going to show up. But that's what's so exciting about living a life of prayer.
Yeah, I have, for you, Mark, I have a comment, and then I have a question. We want to be sensitive to your time and honor your time, but at the same, you know, you're offering such rich things for our listeners, I think, to ponder and wrestle with in terms of God. Here at the station last week, or maybe it was the week before, we did a half hour with John MacArthur. And I wanted to make this comment. There are some people who would probably grab a hold of your book and maybe grab a hold of Dr. MacArthur's book and hold them up and go, these guys are miles apart. And I just want you to know that I'm very blessed right now in terms that I'm listening to you, and I'm going, the divide is not, it's microscopic. You guys are both talking about the glory of God and the power of Scripture and the power of coming into the presence of God in Scripture. So I just wanted to offer that to you. I mean, I really felt like maybe God wanted me to say that to you. I'm not sure, but I don't want to over-spiritualize it. But in the same token, I want our listeners to understand that what you're offering, the divide in these voices is not that big at all. It really isn't.
Yeah.
The question is, can you, now you've alluded to it. I mean, you said that early on you did a prayer walk around D.C., and that prayer walk, I'm guessing that was kind of your metaphor for your big circle you made. But if you could just clarify what for people the circle looks like, because immediately when I read the book, I mean, I'd already known about the legend of Honey. So I read the book, and immediately I thought about a run on, like, white chalk at the local Target. You know, people buying chalk like crazy, all our listeners, because they want to draw circles around themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly people don't show up to church because they're standing in their circle instead. So could you maybe tell us, or maybe even release people to understand how big the idea of the circle is?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that it's a metaphor that really can be applied in lots of different ways. For example, one of my heartbeats for the book is that people wouldn't read it by themselves, but that they would read it in groups, and that those groups would become prayer circles. Now, that's terminology that in many churches is used to describe 2, 3, 10 people agreeing in prayer about something. I just think that we've left our greatest weapon in its holster and not used it. There's power when we agree in the will of God with one another. And so, you know, I think part of the idea of drawing a prayer circle is praying with other people. I also think it means that we're going to surround something with prayer, and then we're going to keep praying through. Let me give you an example. When my oldest son, Parker, who's now 16, and I have a 14-year-old daughter, Summer, and a 10-year-old son, Josiah, when Parker was just a baby, the Lord put it in my heart to turn Luke 2:52 into a prayer. And so thousands of times I have circled my children with this blessing: may you grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now, that's not a physical circle, but I feel like I have circled them with that promise, with that prayer, thousands of times. And so the idea is just to keep on praying through. And then occasionally, you know, I am doing this interview from Ebenezer's Coffee House. It's 4 blocks from the nation's capital. It's been voted the number one coffee house in D.C. We have about 600 customers a day. Every penny of profit goes to missions. And it's an amazing place where the church and community cross paths. Well, here's the deal. This miracle, this coffee house, it took 5 years of circling it in prayer. And I literally physically would walk circles around this piece of property just saying, God, I believe this is promised land. I believe it belongs to you. I believe we need to do something for your glory here. And here's the crazy thing. 4 people offered more money for it, 2 of them real estate developers, and we got it. And we have since built this coffee house, and it's a wonderful place where so many people encounter the love of Christ and get a great cup of coffee. But it was prayer. And so when people walk in, what they see is a coffee house. And I'm quick to tell them, this is not a coffee house. This is what an answered prayer looks like. This is what prayer looks like. When you circle something in prayer and it's in the will of God and for the glory of God, then look out, because God's going to do some miracles, and it's not going to be your fingerprints on it. It's going to be His fingerprints, and those are some of the greatest moments in life.
Wow, so much more to say. So tune in again tomorrow for part 2, and stop by greatnewsradio.org. The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson can be viewed with links for more information. Have a prayerful day, everyone.